here on 4 Extra.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, the first part of Adam Zamoyski's biography of the brief but eventful life of the great romantic composer Frédéric Chopin, from Polish child prodigy to Paris dandy. His turbulent relationship with George Sand and his early death, penniless, in Paris.
On October the 30th, 1849, a large crowd gathered at the Church of La Madeleine in Paris, and hundreds of carriages clogged the surrounding streets. The front of the enormous church was draped with panels of black velvet bearing the initials FC, embroidered in silver. Entry was by ticket only. At noon, the grim servants of death appeared bearing the coffin of the great artist. At the same time, a funeral march familiar to all admirers of Chopin burst from the recesses of the choir. A shiver of death ran through the congregation, recalled the French poet Théophile Gautier. As for me, I fancied I could see the sun grow pale and the gilding of domes take on an evil greenish tint. Mozart's Requiem was sung, and during the offertory, the organist of the Madeleine played two of Chopin's preludes. After the service, the coffin was taken to the cemetery of Père Lachaise. The mourners were led by Prince Adam Czartoryski, widely regarded as Poland's uncrowned king, and the pallbearers included the painter Eugène Delacroix. Behind the coffin came dozens of musicians and artists, and thousands of the dead man's friends and admirers, with even the grandest ladies walking on foot, their escutcheoned carriages following in a long cortege. With the possible exception of Beethoven, no musician had ever had such a splendid funeral, and few have been so mourned. Frédéric František Chopin was born in 1810 on the Zelazowa Wola estate near Warsaw to a French expatriate father and a Polish mother. Politically a satellite of France, the Duchy of Warsaw was modelled on the French pattern, and Nicolas Chopin was able to obtain a post teaching French at the Warsaw Lycée. Warsaw was an unusual metropolis. The medieval walled city overlooked the Vistula with the royal castle. To the south stretched elegant 18th-century streets, and beyond that, a curiously rural city of palaces and villas. Nicolas Chopin identified himself entirely with his adopted country. He insisted on speaking Polish and would not tolerate any other language in his home. He was a competent teacher, described as a rather ceremoniously grave personage with a certain elegance of manner. The only artistic influence in the Chopin household was provided by his wife, Justina. The little Chopin was introduced to the piano by his mother when he was four. And by the age of six, he was noted for his ability to play relatively difficult pieces, as well as for his gift for producing simple melodic variations. In 1816, he started taking piano lessons from a friend of his father's, the 60-year-old Adalbert Givny, who had come to Poland from his native Bohemia, playing the violin in a court orchestra before becoming a music teacher. He was a tall man, with a huge purple nose and no teeth. He wore a lopsided, old-fashioned wig and a thickly quilted frock coat, which, along with his waistcoat, was thoroughly impregnated with snuff. He never bathed, confining himself to a rub-down with vodka on hot summer days. Givny was an 18th-century musician. His gods were Bach, Haydn, and Mozart. By the time Givny had come to teach Chopin, the boy had already developed a familiarity with the keyboard. Not being a pianist himself, and in view of the boy's instinctive dexterity, Givny didn't bother with technicalities. Instead, he concentrated on acquainting his pupil with great music, guiding him through the keyboard works of Bach, Haydn, Mozart, and a contemporary composer, Hummel. The result of this unorthodox approach was that Chopin was allowed to develop his own method of playing, hitting the notes he wanted with the fingers he thought appropriate, not with those specified by the textbooks. This musical education was complemented by the music Chopin heard in homes and drawing rooms around Warsaw. Some of this was taken from the popular Italian operas of the day, but much of it was national in character. Polish piano music was dominated by the Polonaise, a musical form built on the rhythm of a slow, minuet-like court dance dating back to the 16th century. Unsurprisingly, Chopin's own first steps in composition took this form. By the age of 7, he was already composing short pieces. The first known reference to Chopin's appearance outside the family circle was to be found in the diary of a young lady who went to a soiree at Countess Grabowska's, where young Chopin played the piano, a child in his 8th year whom the connoisseurs declare to be Mozart's successor. Countess Grabowska was the founder of the Warsaw Benevolent Society, and it was not long before she recognized Chopin's fundraising potential. Chopin performed at the first of the Society's concerts in February 1818, in the ballroom of the Radziwiłł Palace. It was his first appearance before such a large audience, and after this event, his fame spread throughout the capital. Chopin's was an unusual upbringing. From his sheltered home, he was propelled into some of the most elegant drawing rooms in Europe. He soon acquired polished manners and an ability to feel at ease in the most exalted company. He was sociable and a little precocious, but he was not, by all accounts, conceited. When he returned home from one of his first public appearances, his mother asked him what the audience had liked best, to which he is alleged to have replied, "My new English collar." He would, in fact, remain remarkably modest about his music throughout his life. This was largely the consequence of his father's determination not to let his talent go to his head and insistence on treating his son's gift as a pleasant amenity rather than the central feature of his life. There was no question of the boy playing for money. The review of a charity concert in which Chopin had taken part in February 1823 concluded with the following observation. "After this musical evening, we shall certainly not envy Vienna their Mr. Liszt, as our capital possesses one equal to him, and perhaps even superior, in the shape of young Mr. Chopin." Chopin himself would not have envied the Viennese prodigy, for while Liszt, one year his junior, was steered into the grueling career of a performing musician, Chopin enjoyed a normal childhood. Later that year, he donned the semi-military uniform of the blue frock coat with a high collar and joined the fourth form at the Warsaw Lycée like any other schoolboy. While he was by no means robust, little Fritzek had no difficulty in making friends. He had an irreverent wit and a keen eye for the ridiculous. But Chopin also worked hard, and at the end of the academic year in July 1824, he jointly collected the fourth form prize. The real prize, however, was an invitation to go and stay in the country with his classmate, Dominik Jevanovski, whose family estate, Szafarnia, lay on the flat Moravian plain outside Warsaw. Chopin's holiday had undoubtedly been dictated, at least in part, by concern for his health. It is possible that he had contracted tuberculosis. But the 14-year-old boy found everything about life in the country new and interesting. But what fascinated him more than anything else were the unfamiliar sounds. The only popular music he had heard before was Warsaw street musicians' rendering of folk songs and dances. As he listened to the peasant girls singing their songs of love or sorrow, to the old women chanting in the fields, and to the drinking songs issuing from village taverns, a whole new world of music opened up before him. When he returned to Warsaw, it was with his head full of these new harmonies. The following summer was also spent at Szafarnia. The climax was the harvest festival, which Chopin described at length. "We suddenly heard a chorus of falsetto voices. old peasant women whining through their noses and girls squealing mercilessly half a tone higher to the accompaniment of a single violin, and that only a three-string one, whose voice could be heard repeating each phrase after it had been sung through. Chopin and his friend went out to watch the column of peasants, led by four girls carrying traditional wreaths and bunches of harvested crops. Barrels of vodka were rolled out, candles were brought to the porch, and the violinist struck up a hearty mazurka. Chopin opened the dancing with a young cousin of the Jevanovskys, and then took over from one of the peasants who was playing a double bass, which was down to one string. The warm, starry night was well advanced before Chopin and his friend were called to bed, and the peasants moved on to the village to continue their carousing. The whole evening made a vivid impression on Chopin, but left him a little wistful. He had a vague foreboding that he would not be spending many more such carefree holidays in the Polish countryside. He returned to Warsaw in September to embark on his final year at the Lycée. Music-making took up every available moment, though he was often at the opera, at a concert, or a party. In the autumn of 1826, Chopin began his studies at the Warsaw Conservatoire. "I go to bed at 9. All tea parties, soirées and balls have gone by the board," he wrote despondently to a friend. His reverence for Bach continued, undiminished, and for Mozart, who was his god. He was further encouraged by the Austrian composer Johann Hummel, who arrived in Warsaw in April 1828 and who appears to have been impressed by Chopin. This first mark of recognition was probably what prompted him to send copies of his first piano sonata to publishers in Leipzig and Vienna. By the time he began his last year at the Conservatoire, Chopin was almost 19 years old. He'd grown into an interesting-looking man, physically somewhat puny, but with a refined countenance and manner. This and his sociability and musical gift meant that he was much sought after. "You know how awful it is when all you want to do is go to bed and everyone wants you to start improvising," he complained, somewhat disingenuously, to a friend. He always complied, and having sat at the piano, would improvise for hours. The best-known compositions from this period are the Rondo on Cracovian Themes, Opus 14, and the Fantasia on Polish Airs, Opus 13, both for piano and orchestra. Following his exposure to authentic folk music in 1824, Chopin had started collecting country tunes and using them in pieces for the piano. By 1828, he'd mastered the folk idiom so far that he could write original mazurkas, often using elements of melodies he'd heard in the country, but more often creating his own. This process eventually led him to create an entirely new mode of musical expression through the melodic language of a people. Chopin was no longer writing a country dance or a court dance. He was writing poems in the musical language of the vanished world of the Polish noble past.
Chopin, Prince of the Romantics was written by Adam Zamoyski and read by Stephen Campbell Moore. It was abridged by Dory Nestle and produced by Justine Willett. And tomorrow, in the capital of the artistic world, Chopin soon becomes a Parisian dandy, but still longs for Poland.
For some reason, I've never put collecting theatrical anecdotes down as one of my hobbies in Who's Who.
Ned Sherrin, a born raconteur.
But it has yielded me a couple of books, a talking tape, and a sort of one-man show.
His radio legacy is a huge archive of features, magazine programmes, and performances. Why not join me, Emma Freud, for Side by Side by Sherrin, with a generous helping of Ned himself and the memories of his friends.
He would come down and say, OK, kids, enough of the playing around, let's get this done.
Side by Side by Sherrin, on Saturday morning at 9, and again in the evening at 7. On BBC Radio 4 Extra.